want you to find your place in the book of Luke tonight, the book of Luke chapter 13. We've been studying through this book together, and what I call patchwork through the Gospels, and we've come to Luke chapter 13, verse number 10. Luke chapter 13, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 10. The message I'm preaching tonight is preaching through books of the Bible, and this particular message that I'm preaching is something that as it came together, and as I was typing it out and completed it and all of this and thinking about it tonight, this is a message that we all need. You may not need this tonight, but I promise you that if you live long enough and the Lord tarries His coming, that you're going to need this. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, a year from now, 10 years from now, everybody's going to need these thoughts. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart. It'll make sense when we get to it at the end of the message tonight, okay? Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, He called her to Him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." And He laid His hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, doth not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You may be sitting there thinking, what in the world is he going to bring out that all of us need? There's great lessons here. And I want to draw out as my title in verse number 10, this phrase, "in one of the synagogues." And I preach to you on that subject tonight, in one of the synagogues. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, please. And Lord, as you've opened this to my heart, I pray that you help and use me to open it to the hearts of these precious people. Thank you for them being faithful to your house tonight. Speak to all of us. Challenge us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. On this particular Sabbath day, the Lord Jesus was in one of the synagogues teaching the people gathered there that particular day. Now, before I get to the meat of the message, I want to give you a couple of thoughts here just by means of introduction. Number one, we can learn here the importance of being in God's house on the Lord's day. I remind you here that the Lord made it a priority. You see it over and over in His life that during the Sabbath, now the Jewish Sabbath is not the same as Sunday today, I understand all of that, but the principle is still there, that we're talking about the day that's set apart to go to God's house. You'll notice that Jesus Christ, during His earthly ministry, made it a priority of His to be found in the synagogue on those days. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. Faithfulness to church attendance today is basically a lost thing. There's a lot of people that all they do is come on Sunday morning. And I'm going to tell you something. They're cheating themselves when they do that. There's no question about it. And I'm saying this to you tonight, not preaching at you, but encouraging you that you're doing the right thing by being here on a Wednesday evening. I realize that many of you work all day long. So do I. And so on, and I come on a Wednesday night, sometimes I'm tired, and I know sometimes you're tired. Some of you struggle staying awake on Wednesday night. Now, if you do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that may be my problem, I'm not sure. But the fact of the matter is that you come, some of you come straight from work, and I salute you for that. I simply want to say this, you're doing the right thing. Don't ever stop being faithful to the house of God. You will never, you and I will never regret when we see the Lord that we were faithful to come to His house every time that we possibly could. Second thing, this is just by means of introduction now. We learn here the importance of teaching God's Word in the house of God. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching that day, and that shows us the importance of teaching what He says in the house of God. You know, when people come to the house of God, they should be fed God's Word. They should not be fed man's opinion. They should not be fed man's philosophies. Every now and then a pastor may get up and say that this is my opinion, or this is how God is leading me. But by and by, I'm talking about when they open the Word of God, a man should open the Bible and preach what the Word of God has said. Mr. Kaiser taught us this way: you don't have to come up with anything new. When God called you to preach, He simply called you to tell others what He's already said. In other words, don't add to it, don't take away from it. Just preach the Word of God. Now, this Sabbath day, when the Lord was teaching, there was an event that took place that I want to draw our attention to. In one of the synagogues, there were three major things that I see. Now, in these three things, in these main points, I'm going to summarize the message. In other words, I'm going to give you the three main points, just summarizing the story, and then I'm going to apply this with four truths at the end. Everybody with me so far? Number one, this is not the application. This is the main outline just to tell the story. First of all, in one of the synagogues, we see, number one, this woman's health. We see this in verse number 11, where the Bible says, "Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up." The woman's health. This verse tells us that there was a woman there, and she had a spirit of infirmity. Now we know from verse number 16, because Satan bound her, that this spirit was an evil spirit. And the Bible says that she was bowed together. Those two words literally means that she was bent double. That's what it means. It's a medical term that means a curvature of the spine. It is said that she could not in any wise, the Bible says, she could not in any wise lift up herself. What a terrible condition this was. Imagine being bent over. Excuse me now, but imagine being bent over at the waist like this for 18 years. She couldn't lift herself at all. The devil did this to her. He is an enemy that will try to inflict pain as much as possible. Now listen to this. The Word of God says that the devil was behind this. And let me say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to say this. We know that these bodies are under a curse. Amen or not, friends? We are under a curse. So everything that this body goes through in suffering, everything has its origin in sin. There's no question about it. In other words, the reason that we suffer is because we are sinners. Now, that does not mean that all sickness comes from sin. I'm saying that God is judging that particular sin in your life. In other words, there are some sicknesses that God allows to come in our lives to judge us for sin. For that sin. You understand what I'm saying to you? But not all sickness is because we're living in sin. Does that make sense what I'm saying to you? Understand what I'm trying to get across here? Sickness comes from sin, but not all sickness comes from unconfessed sin. If you understand what I mean to you. But every now and then, God allows Satan to touch our bodies. We don't know why. And we see that this is what's happened in this text, the woman's health. But number two, I want to show you the Lord's help. We see this in verses 12 and 13. "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God." Now again, I'm just summarizing the story. I'm going to give you some application to take home in a minute. These verses tell us when the Lord saw this woman, he called her to himself. And he said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine iniquity." Thine infirmity. You know what this word loose means? It means you are freed. You are released. Or you are divorced from your infirmity. That's what it means. He laid his hands on her, and immediately the Bible says she was made straight. What a day this truly was for that woman. I mean, it breaks my heart just thinking about her being over for 18 years. Here she is. I mean, been over at the waist for 18 long years. The Bible says she could in no wise lift herself up. That means, folks, she's looking straight down the whole time. How does she sleep? What in the world? And yet 18 years she's in this condition until she went to the Sabbath and Jesus saw her. And he took notice of her and he called her to himself. And he said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to divorce you from your infirmity. I'm going to release you from what's been troubling you. No wonder the Bible says that this woman glorified God because, see, her pain had been replaced with praise. This is the Lord's help. Well, finally, I want to show you, this is really just introducing this. I want to show you the ruler's hypocrisy. We see the woman's health, the Lord's help, and the ruler's hypocrisy. We see this in verses 14 and following. And the ruler of the synagogue, the big daddy on campus, answered with indignation. It means his feathers got ruffled here. He got upset because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. He didn't talk to Jesus here. Notice the Bible says he said to the people. In other words, the Lord's there. He's not man enough to look him in the face. He turns around to the people and says, hey, there are 6 days for you sick people to come and be healed, but don't bring your infirmity in here on the Sabbath. To this, the Lord said something that some Baptists would think is not too kind of him to say. And he speaks up in verse number 15. He says, thou hypocrite, you two-faced masked one. That's what it means. You who are wearing a mask. You who have two faces. You hypocrite. He said, don't you go home and loose your ox or loose your donkey on the Sabbath just so they can get a drink of water. And you're complaining because, hey, you don't mind loosing your animal for water, but you're complaining that I'm loosing her from the bonds of Satan? Boy, he knew how to shut these people up, friends. He did. And I'm telling you that this man was putting higher value on his own animals than this woman's need. They didn't mind to loose their animals from the stalls on the Sabbath, but they were against the Lord loosing this woman from Satan on the Sabbath. What hypocrisy. Harry Ironside put it this way, and I quote, as he went abroad, talking about Jesus, as Jesus went abroad doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil, he found himself in conflict with a certain group of legal formalists in Israel who put far more value upon outward observances, sacred ceremonies, and religious rites than upon the human soul. And yet the soul of man is more to God than all such rites and ceremonies. Our Lord Jesus never lost an opportunity to rebuke this type of hypocrisy. He called it that very definitely. When they heard this, the Bible says in verse number 17, it says that all of his adversaries, you know what that means? His enemies. The Lord has enemies, friends. And if you're going to take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to have some enemies too. I'm telling you, the Bible says all of his enemies, all of his adversaries were ashamed because, see, they knew the Lord had spoken the truth to them. They saw just for a moment that they really were hypocrites. Now, that's the story. In one of the synagogues, Jesus is teaching. A woman has bad health. She's been over double for 18 years. Jesus sees her, calls her to himself, speaks to her, sets her free, touches her. She stands upright. She glorifies God. The ruler gets upset and Jesus puts him in his place. And they leave the synagogue. Now, Let me give you the message. What lessons do we learn from this? And again, I remind you, when I preach to you, I'm preaching the Word of God. But a lot of my preaching has to do with how God applies His truth to my own heart. This is how He spoke to me. And it's amazing, the timing of this message. It's amazing. When I preach through books of the Bible, it's amazing. Sometimes you don't even know anything about it, but it's amazing how I see, boy, what timing is that message right there. That's God. I'll go ahead and share this with you. And listen, there may not be any problem at all. May be no problem at all. But I found out last week that potentially I have a birth defect in my heart. It's called a bicuspid aortic valve that I've been told that I have. That's not been verified, okay? It's not been verified. But if it's true, it may never cause any problems, or I may have to have surgery in the future, whatever. Some of y'all have had that surgery, I'm sure. I'm not alone in this, and I know that. But I'm going to tell you something. When I heard that, it floored me. It floored me. And I'm going to tell you something. I've been on an emotional, spiritual roller coaster ever since last Friday. I've been up, I've been down. I've been up, I've been down. I have felt the peace of God, and I have had the devil jump up on my shoulder and try to strangle me to death. I'm going Monday for an updated echocardiogram just to make sure nothing's going on. It's like I was telling people, though, I started looking up symptoms, and now I've got that symptom, you know. I've got that symptom now, all this kind of stuff. All these kind of, you know how that works. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know if everything's okay yet. I think it is, but I don't know. I'm in the middle of it. And this is the next message I'm studying, going through a book. Let me give you how God spoke to me. Number one, health problems can come to any person. The Bible says in verse number 11, that there was a woman there, but notice verse number 16, Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham. Now listen, this phrase, a daughter of Abraham, there's a little bit of discussion as to what he meant, but most agree that this is the Lord's way of referencing this lady as a child of God. She's a daughter of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the children of faith. And most agree, and I agree with this too, that he's calling her here, this is one of my own. Are you listening to me? Now, whether that's true or not, in other words, some people just say that he's just identifying her as a Jew here, okay? I'm not going to split hairs, because I know the Bible truth that I'm preaching is taught elsewhere anyway. I'm not contradicting Scripture here by saying that health problems can come to anybody, saved or unsaved. We need to understand that. That doesn't mean that we live in fear of it, but it just means that we live in the reality of it. That if you're saved, your body is still under the curse. It is. You are still a sinner saved by the grace of God. But as I heard one man put it, the odds are this, one out of one die, friends. It's going to happen. And I'm telling you that we are under the curse, and every now and then, if you tarry long, if God tarries His coming and He gives you life, you are going to experience some health problems. Can I get an amen, please? Some of you are there now. Some of you just need to be reminded from your pastor that it is in God's Word. Even though you're a child of faith, that does not mean that you're not going to have some physical problems in life. It doesn't mean that. I heard a youth pastor many, many years ago, and he made this statement. He said, God marks His own. He marks them. And I think for him it was like a knee surgery or something like that. And he said, that's God's mark on my life. I've had a heart catheterization. I've had 3 knee surgeries. I look back on all of that kind of stuff. At one time, they were talking about putting a pacemaker in me. You know what all this proves, don't you? It proves I do have a heart, friends. Back in junior high, they were talking about putting a pacemaker in me. I had a heart cath. I still remember being in that heart cath. I had an Indian doctor. I still remember this. I forget a lot of things, but I still remember this. He was sitting there doing a heart cath, and he about slipped out of his seat. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about me. I'm okay." I still remember that today. Glory. I hope he didn't mess anything up when he did it. You know what I'm saying? Who cares if he's all right? What about me? You know what I mean? But what am I saying to you? I'm saying I can look back in my life and I can see, boy, I see God's mark on me right there. I look back in my life because I was going full force towards sports, athletics. I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. I wanted to follow basically in my daddy's footsteps, even though he never made it because he separated his shoulder, all these kind of things. They say my daddy had hit the ball a mile, all of this. My grandma will vouch for that, all of this. I wanted to follow in his footsteps. I wanted to fulfill his dream. I wanted to go to Major League Baseball because I knew that's what daddy wanted. And I wanted to make it. And I thought I could make it, but God called me to preach. And I gave that up. That's nothing. That's nothing. I gave that up because God called me to preach, and I had a thought go through my mind. Now, again, I'm not trying to be eerie or anything like that, but I had a thought go through my mind. You either give in to me or you will not do your own thing. And my mind kept going back to my heart catheterization. My mind kept going back to my 3 knee surgeries. And I now look back on those things and say, God was trying to get my attention. He was trying to get my attention through that. But now, I can show you, I've got scars all, right here. All of it. And I can say, God has marked me. Oh, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that life is not always going to be a bed of roses, friends. And health problems can come to any person. Number 2. Health problems should not affect your commitment to God. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse number 11. The woman which had a spirit infirmity 18 years was bowed together, could in no wise lift up herself. You say, where'd you get that? Where's she at, friends? Where's she at here? She's in the synagogue. She's in the house of God. Boy, God got my attention right here. This woman suffered from this infirmity for 18 long years. Do you maybe suppose that she's praying and begging God for 18 years to take this away from her? Now, I can't prove that, but you for sure can't disprove that. I have a slight suspicion that she's been coming to the house of God and begging God to deliver her potentially. This goes to show that even though she was experiencing difficulty, she was still committed to doing what God wanted her to do on that particular Sabbath. It's been said she was not demon-possessed. She was demon-oppressed. Yet she pressed on for God. You know, before I move on here, I want to point out something about this woman. This is what one person said. He said, to me, she's one of the most powerful pictures of faith and faithfulness in the New Testament. She's been in this condition for 18 years. If she has been to the synagogue every Sabbath, now we don't know that, but if she had been to the synagogue every Sabbath for those 18 years, she's attended some 1,000 meetings there. She's been sick for 18 years. She's not been healed. Still, she believes God. She prays, but even when it seems like God isn't going to answer, she remains faithful. She comes to the services in spite of the fact that no one would think a thing about her if she did not come. She had suffered for years while God had only watched. Still, she remained faithful. What a rebuke she is to the mentality that abounds today. If we have a headache, we run to the medicine bottle and knock ourselves out. She was bent double, yet she came to the house of God to worship. We allow the slightest bump in the road of life to derail us and cause us to want to throw in the towel. She persisted in her faith, even when life didn't go her way, because she loved the Lord her God. I think she continued faithful because she knew that God knew best. I think she still believed in her heart that God would one day answer her prayer. I think she knew the truth that God was worthy of her worship whether he touched her or not. She loved him and she would worship him in spite of the obstacles that she faced. She was committed to the Lord. And he asked a question. Are we that committed? That's a dart, friends. Number one, I'm just trying to apply this now. Health problems can come to anybody. Sons of the devil or sons of Abraham, sons of God, you name it, health problems can come. And if you live long enough, they're going to come, friends. It's that simple. Number two, health problems should not affect your commitment to God. Number three, health problems can show how much God loves you and can also show how powerful He is. Let me say it again. Health problems can show just how much God really loves you and just how much power He really has. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, He called her to Him, said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid His hands on her. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Verse number 16. And not this woman being a daughter of Satan, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. You know what I read in those verses I see the love of God for this woman. And I see His power and authority over Satan. That's what I see. See, on this particular Sabbath, the Lord took special note and notice of this woman with this health problem. In His actions of seeing her, just looking at her, calling her to Himself, speaking unto her, touching her, healing her, lifting her up, in all of that, we see His tender love and His tender care. You know, it's time we realize that when we suffer with health concerns, the Lord has not forsaken us, friends. He loves us and cares for us during these times. He really does. You know, one of the things the devil tries to throw at you, I'm saying this because I'm living in it some, you know, he tries to tempt your mind. By the way, I'm living this, that during times when I think to myself, boy, somebody else is going to have to raise my kids for me. I mean, this is it. I'm gone. It's over. I'm dead. I'm sure you've never had thoughts like that go through your mind, you know what I mean? This is the big one, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming home, you know, all this kind of stuff, all these kind of things. When I'm down in the dumps, and that's happened over the weekend, just because I don't know what's going to happen, all this kind of stuff. Now, again, it may not be anything. It may just be that was a mistake. You understand? But I'm saying I'm living in this right now. And I'm saying this not to lift me up. I'm saying this just to let you know that I don't just preach this, folks. God's letting me live this right now. Because it has a little bit more clout when the pastor gets up and says, you know, troubles can hit you at any time, and I'm living one right now. And I'm telling you with this that what I'm saying to you is that during times like this, the devil's going to bombard your mind. Why would God let this happen to you? I thought God said He loves you. Does God really care about you? You know, if He cared about you, why are you miserable? I mean, look at all those other people who aren't doing anything for God. I mean, they're in perfect health. Why do you give you this problem? Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate, friends. I'm telling you, that's how the wicked one battles. He battles right there. That's what he does. During this time, I have thrown myself at the feet of Jesus Christ. I have. I've begged Him, God, I need Your help. I've got on my face and praying, talking to God and saying, God, listen, I want to thank You for this. Because I know You're trying to do something. I know you are. But I'll talk to Him just like I'm talking to you and say, God, I'm struggling. I'm battling. Devil's trying to beat me all to pieces. Would You please give me peace? Would You please comfort my heart? And would You give me something from Your Word? Just something from Your Word? Every time I mean business with God, God means business with me. He has given me verses through this. He has calmed my heart. He has used my own wife's songs. She has written more music, 15 more songs. God willing, we'll be going up in April to record. If I don't have open heart surgery, you know, and go home first. I'm kidding about that. I'm trying to make a joke out of it, you know what I mean? She wrote a song she's going to have me sing. And honestly, I don't know if I can get through it. I was singing it alone, you know, in our bathroom. I was cleaning up this afternoon, and I began to sing it. And it starts talking about, well, you never know what life's going to throw your way. And it's like God is speaking, is what it is. And he says, you'll rest at peace with me because your God is still on the throne. Your God is still on the throne. God has used my wife's music to minister to my own heart in this. I'll get out and exercise and all of this. And I'm listening to good gospel music, and God begins to speak to me. And he lifts me up. You say, what am I talking about? I'm saying, friends, God shows you during times of physical problems, he shows you just how much he really does love you and just how much he really cares about you. Along with this, we see the Lord's authority over Satan. Because, see, the Bible says here that Jesus said in verse 16 that Satan had bound her. In other words, it was Satan who was keeping her in that position. The devil was allowed to touch her, and he was keeping her bent over where she could not lift up herself. But when the Lord saw her, all he had to do was speak. And then he put his hands on her, and immediately Satan's bond was broken. What's the point? I'm saying that God really is in control. He really is. And even though for some reason, every now and then he allows the devil to touch even his children. Take Job. Now, if you think you have the story of Job figured out, friends, you got a long line ahead of you, okay? I mean, Satan came and offered himself to the Lord. It's a great mystery. I'm not going to try to figure it out. It's like Tom Farrell said. I was telling Brother Gary this earlier today. He was talking about another issue, but he said this. He said he was talking to some people before, and he said, you know, the Bible says God is so big that it says the earth is his footstool. And he said, he looked at those people and said, you going to tell me you have him figured out? You're not going to figure God out. I don't understand the story of Job. But I understand this. God said, have you considered my servant Job? One that fears God is choose evil. Satan said he's only doing it because you're so good to him. Turn me loose on him. Let me touch him. Let me take some things from him and see if he still blesses you. He said, okay, God, save his life. Everything in his hands is yours. Why does God do that? I don't know. I don't know. I'd lie if I'd be lying to you if I said I knew why he does that. I can guess. He's trying to prove his heart. You know, he's testing him. His faith. I don't know. But all I'm saying to you is every now and then, God allows Satan to touch his children. And if he's allowed him to touch you, here's what I'm trying to say to you. He's only going to let him go so far, friends. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because ultimately, God is in control. And we need to let that truth hit us, that the power of Satan is nothing in comparison to the power of Jesus Christ. For instance, Matthew 12, 22 to 29 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. In other words, he's got so much power. Hey, he must be Satan. Only Satan could do this. He's the devil. That explains this power. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, here's what he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Now notice this. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house, spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, you're saying I'm doing this by the power of Satan. If Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. And if you're saying I'm of Satan, then who are your children casting them out by? But if I, by the power of God, have done this, then there's only one way it's possible, because I have bound the strong man. What's that mean? That means I've overcome, I've overpowered the strong man. Who's the strong man? It's Satan. It's the devil. And all I'm saying is this, the bottom line is this woman would never have experienced this kind of the power of God if it hadn't have been for her physical health problem. She learned more about Jesus through being bent over at the waist for 18 years than she ever would have standing upright and never having a problem. Amen, friends. And she saw firsthand that he has the power to heal, and he really does care. Does Jesus care? Sure he cares. The Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Then fourth and finally tonight, the first three had to do with sickness, with health. The final one is this, determine not to be a hypocrite. Determine not to be a hypocrite. See, the ruler of the synagogue was consumed with their man-made interpretation of the Sabbath. He told the people they should not come to be healed on the Sabbath, but only during the six other days of the week. However, he, along with others who tried to be a stickler to their own rule, God never made that a rule. It was never against the Sabbath rule, the Mosaic law, to heal a human being on the Sabbath. That was never part of it. That was these men's own interpretation. That's what it was. But yet, even though they were a stickler to their own rule and interpreted that their own way, they would still make an exception for their own life and go untie their animals and make sure they got water that day. To this, the Lord said, you're a hypocrite. By the way, it's one thing when a lost man says that's why he doesn't come to church, because there's too many hypocrites there. Yeah. It's another thing when Jesus says it. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus looked at you and said, thou, fill in the blank, what would he say? Thou faithful one, thou real one, or would he say, thou hypocrite? What's the point here? Again, this word hypocrite means wearing a mask. It means somebody who's got two faces, speaking out of both sides of the mouth. In other words, these people would preach one thing, but they would live another. While many things could be said here, the Lord spoke to my heart by challenging all of us. Notice I say us. I'm not saying you, I'm saying us. By challenging all of us not to be like this ruler. Let us get our rules from God's Word. Let us not add our interpretation to it. Let us do what He's told us to do. Let us truly preach and teach God's Word, not our own ideas. And let us live what we preach. There are too many today who say one thing with their mouth and say something very different with their life. What am I saying here? I'm saying be real. Take the mask off. Give your life to speaking and living the truth. It is so easy to say, boy, you shouldn't do that. But I'm reminded what Jesus said. Why considerest thou, I'm paraphrasing, the splinter in thy neighbor's eye, but considerest not the beam, the light pole in your own eye? Hypocrisy is eating independent Baptist churches alive. One thing at church, another thing at work. One thing at church, another thing at school. One thing at church, another thing at home. And I'm telling you, hear what Jesus said, thou hypocrite. In this story, we saw a woman bound by Satan for 18 long years. We saw her set free by the power and love of God. And I simply want to conclude this. If you're experiencing health difficulties, realize tonight that God loves you. God cares about you. And He has power to heal you if He so desires. But if He chooses not to heal, it does not change the fact that He still loves you and that He can help you through. The Apostle Paul's experience has been a blessing to me over the weekend, specifically today. 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10, here's what the Apostle Paul said. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What did Paul say? He said, it's the messenger of Satan to buffet me. He said, Satan sent me a message, and it's buffeting me. You know what that buffeting means? It means it's beating the daylights out of me, and it will not stop. He's hitting me over, 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 over. Satan has sent me a message, and it's a thorn in my flesh. He said, for this thing I besought, I begged the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. When Paul heard that, here's what he said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Whew, that's powerful, friends. Either way, times like these can teach things about our Savior that we would learn no other way. Do you understand that? So if the Lord has touched you, or if the devil has touched you, or if you don't know, I'm simply trying to tell you, don't fall prey to the thought that God doesn't love you, because He does. He sees you. He's still calling you to His side. Every now and then He will heal, He will touch, but sometimes He will allow it to keep on going. Why? Just to show us how big He really is. Amen, friends. Some of you are hurting tonight, aren't you? Some of you are carrying physical problems that nobody else knows about. And I'm simply trying to tell you, in this life, we will have trouble. But we are headed to a place where none of this will ever be allowed again. But while we go through it, let us learn the lesson. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. In one of the synagogues, the woman's health, the Lord's help, the ruler's hypocrisy. May the Lord help us to see this. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy, your grace, your love. Thank you for the trying times that you give to us. I thank you for what right now, Lord, that you've given to me. And I realize that more than likely there's nothing wrong. But Lord, you have purposely made it to where I don't know that. But I pray that you help me to trust you through it. Help my wife, children. Help the hurting people here tonight to draw close to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I want to ask you this question. Are you 100% sure that you are going to heaven? Has there really been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? I'm not asking, have you joined a church? I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm asking, has there been a time where you realized you were a sinner and on your way to hell? And you didn't want that. You turned to Jesus Christ. And have you trusted Him as your Savior? If that's not happened to you, then I won't invite you to come. We'll introduce you to Him tonight. Second question tonight. Are you in the middle of a health crisis? Have you said, Jody, I'm experiencing health problems tonight. Maybe something that you're dealing with or whatever. And if you're not comfortable raising your hand to this, don't feel like you're lying to me, because I realize that some of you are very private and I would never ask you to do something that you're not comfortable doing, okay? So if you have a health situation and you're not too private to share that with me, and you say, Jody, this message about health, it's hitting home with me because I'm experiencing it. Be honest, would you raise your hand and be honest about it? That's a lot of you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. A lot of you raise your hand to that. I would raise my hand with you tonight. There's a lot of people didn't raise your hand. Some of you raised your hand in your heart. I realize that. But if you're there tonight and you don't raise your hand because there's no physical problems that you know of, can I encourage you to do something? Shout glory in your heart to God right now. Would you do that? That's only by God's grace. But always be prepared. Be prepared. You don't live in fear of it. You don't live in dread of it. You're just prepared for it. That, hey, when I find out that I've got a problem or I've got a potential problem, what is God trying to do? Now, the devil may try to use it to destroy me. But the Lord can use it to show me more about Himself than I've ever known before. And I want to invite you to come and pray and talk to God about it. Have you say, Jody, would you pray with me that I will not be a hypocrite? That could be that God is just speaking to your heart, because in maybe an area of your life, He's saying, you know, you need to take the mask off right there. You need to take the mask off right there. The right thing. I'm not going to ask you to respond with an uplifted hand, but I am going to invite you to the altar. Ask God to help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought now, I pray, and use it in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. God is speaking to you about your health, whatever the case may be. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that? Come now.
Does Jesus care? When my heart is
come and talk to God, friends. There's nothing wrong with that. Bring it to the Lord. Talk to God about it. Ask God to help you speak to
your heart.
Oh.
you to look this way just a moment. Have you all know somebody that they're really struggling with a physical problem? You know somebody like that. Would you raise your hand? They're God's child, but they're struggling with it. Why don't you get them a copy of this message? Get them a copy of it. This is one of those messages. I shared my story with you to get your prayers. I covet your prayers. But I share my story with you because I feel like you as a church family need to be aware of it. And again, there may be nothing wrong with me at all. You'll probably find something wrong with my head, you know, and so on. But if they do find something wrong, and it is bad, or whatever the case may be, that's in the Lord's hands. And I'm His. He is mine. I got a phone call today, and I'm taking some time here. You know, it seems like the longer I preach, the more time I take. But anyway, I got a phone call today from one of my best friends on planet Earth. I don't speak to him all that often. We went to high school together. I consider him one of my best friends. He was my best friend growing up. I considered him that. He sent me a text and said, I figured you out. He called me and I said, what are you talking about? You figured me out. He said, I've struggled for a while, even laying in my bed, asking myself, why would Jody give up baseball and do what he's doing? Why would he do that? So I've had people come to me and ask me, you know him. Why'd he do that? And he said, Jody, he said, it's taken me this long. But he said, I figured it out. He said, God has shown me that life is not about me doing my thing. God has shown me that He created me not to do what I want, but to do what He wants me to do. He got a little bit of it wrong. Here's what I found out. What God wants me to do, I want to do it too. That's how it works. How do I know that God wants me to preach? Because I cannot see myself doing anything else. It's what I desire. It's what I want to do with my life. All of this. It works. If you're having health problems, regardless, He cares. Yes, I know He cares. May the Lord help us. Call the church. Request this. You don't have to pay anything for it. Just call and get it. Give it out. I don't want these messages to stay here. Get it out. Get it to other people. This might help somebody. You know what I mean? Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Bless now this church. Help us to realize that health problems are not outside of Your control. And even when we're bent over at the waist and cannot lift ourselves up, our God still sits on the throne of sovereignty. And You can do anything You choose. We give You praise for that. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Love you. Appreciate you being here. If you need to see me, I'll be up here just for a moment, okay?